Well, thank you, Reverend Stewart. Thank you, everyone, for the opportunity to be here. And I'd like to also thank the children for taking part. And you all did very well. It's not easy to come up to the front and to sing or to speak or to do whatever you are doing. And it's even more difficult if you don't have notes in front of you. I have my notes. Some of you didn't have anything to help you, and you did very well indeed. And it's good to do these things for the Lord, and to serve him in whatever way we can, and when we have the opportunity to speak for him. I'm going to read today from the book of 1 Kings, and the chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. And we're going to read the first verse, so you can follow or you can listen. 1 Kings chapter 1. And the verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 1, and it says, "Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat." Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, and he got no heat. Amen. And we'll finish our reading there. Before we consider God's word, we're going to pray, but perhaps we'll stand. If we can all stand, we will seek the Lord in prayer. Our loving Father, we give thanks for this day, for all of thy goodness toward us, that we can worship thee in our Saviour's name. We give thanks for what we have heard, for the reading of thy word, for the telling of thy truth. And we give thanks for all of the children and for their lives, and for thy goodness to them and their families, and for those who have taught them thy word here in this place over the past weeks and months. And we pray that that word would yet bring forth fruit in their hearts unto eternal life. We remember each one who is here. We pray for each soul. We pray that it would please thee to meet with us and have a word for each one. Save the lost, we ask, and speak to thy people. Grant to us all that we would need. Cleanse us from sin, we pray, and grant to us the help and infilling of thy Holy Spirit, we ask in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. Now we're told, and we read it, that King David was old and he was stricken in years, and they wrapped him up in clothes and he couldn't get warm. As you'll know, boys and girls, who King David was, he was the shepherd boy, the one who was able to kill a lion and a bear as he looked after his father's sheep, as the Lord helped him. David was the one who killed the giant Goliath. And then eventually David became king. And he was king for a long time. But now he was old and he was sick. And soon he would die and he would go to heaven to be with the Lord. And of course, you know, the big question when a king dies, or when a king is near to dying, is who will be the next king? Who is going to be king after King David? David had already said that his son Solomon was going to be the next king. It was God who had picked him, and God had told David, out of all of his sons, because David had many sons, that Solomon would be the next king. And when Solomon was born, his father gave him that name, Solomon. But Nathan the prophet was sent by God to speak to King David, and he gave Solomon another name. He called him Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. The beloved of the Lord. And so King Solomon, as he would later become, he teaches us about the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the beloved Son of God the Father. Remember when he was here on earth, God the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And Solomon helps us to understand more about the Lord Jesus Christ. King David was old and he was dying, and Solomon was young. He wasn't a child, but he was a young adult, not very old. And he had older brothers, older and bigger and stronger than him. And one of them decided that he would be king. And his name was Adonijah. He was older than Solomon. He was probably the oldest of David's sons who was still alive at that time. And we're told that David, his father, never told him off. I don't know if there's any children here and you have a parent like that who never tells you off, never disciplines you for doing wrong. But King David never told Adonijah off for doing anything wrong. Verse 6 of 1 Kings 1 says, "And his father had not displeased him at any time, saying, 'Why hast thou done so?' And he was also a very goodly man." Adonijah always got what he wanted. And his father never said no. And his father never stopped him from doing anything that he wanted to do. And now that his father was old and sick, he thought, "Well, I'll be king. And nobody will stop me." And you remember, boys and girls, that when mommy and daddy stop you from having everything that you want, and tell you off for doing wrong, and discipline you for doing things that are bad, well, they're being kind to you, they're being good to you. And that is for your good, so that you will not grow up and make some great mistake like Adonijah made. He said, "I will be king," and he got chariots and he got horsemen to run in front of him, and he got 50 men and they paraded along in front of him, and he paraded himself around as if he was the king. And he got important people to help him. He got a man called Joab. He was the head of the army, very important man, and he was going to help Adonijah. And then he got another man, Abiathar. He was the high priest, and the high priest would normally anoint the king. He helped Adonijah. So these very important people, they were helping him. But not everyone supported him. We're told that Zadok the priest, he didn't support him. And Nathan the prophet, he didn't support him. And another man called Benaiah, he didn't support him. Now he had a special job. He was the head of the king's bodyguard. You know, the king has a bodyguard of men who surround him all the time, whether it's day or night, in his house or when he goes out, he has his bodyguard surrounding him. And Benaiah was the head of King David's bodyguard, and he didn't support Adonijah either. And you know, boys and girls, we should never support those who are doing wrong. Even if there are important people who are supporting those who are doing wrong, the high priest and the head of the army, these were the most important people in the kingdom, other than the king. And they were supporting Adonijah, but we should not support something that is wrong or against God's word, even if important people say that it's okay. We must follow the word of God. And so Adonijah, with his supporters, held a great feast. They had a great party where he thought he would become king. And they had lots and lots of food. And he invited certain people. He invited all of his brothers, all of King David's other sons, except Solomon. Didn't invite him. And he invited King David's servants, but he didn't invite King David's mighty men, those who surrounded him, those who were his loyal supporters, and he didn't invite Nathan the prophet. And now, as Adonijah was having this great feast, Solomon was in danger if Adonijah became king. So Nathan the prophet, he goes to speak to Solomon's mother. And of course, his mother cared for him very much, and she was going to help him. Nathan went to speak to Solomon's mother. She was called Bathsheba, and he said to her, "You've got to go and speak to King David and tell him what is happening, because he doesn't know. And while you're speaking to King David and telling him what's going on, I will come in and I will confirm what you're saying." And so that's what she did. Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, she goes to see King David. Now remember, the king's very old. And he's sick and he's lying in his bed. And Bathsheba comes in and she bows down to him when she sees him. And she says, "Did you not promise that Solomon would be the next king?" She says, but Adonijah is reigning as the king. And you don't know anything about it. And he's called a great feast. And he's invited all of your sons. And he's invited Abiathar the high priest. And Joab, the captain of the army, is there. But he hasn't invited Solomon. And she says, "You know what? Everyone in the kingdom is looking to you to see what you're going to say, whether it is right or whether it is wrong." 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 20 is what she said to him. "And thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my Lord the King after him. Bathsheba says, you've got to say something. Because if you don't say something, if you don't tell the people what is right and what is wrong, then after you have died, Solomon your son and I myself, we will be in great trouble and we will be in great danger. And there are times, boys and girls, when we have to speak up for the Lord. We have to not only not do what is wrong, but we have to speak against what is wrong when others are doing it and say that it is wrong, because people may look to you, if you're a Christian, at school or wherever you are, and they look to you to tell them the truth, to tell them what is right, to tell them what is wrong. The people were looking to King David to tell them what was right and what was wrong. And as Bathsheba was speaking to David and telling him, you've got to say something, you've got to do something, Nathan the prophet arrives, and his servants tell him, Nathan the prophet is here. And King David knew him very well. And so Bathsheba, she goes out, and Nathan the prophet comes in, and he bows down to the king, and he speaks to him. And he said, did you say that Adonijah was going to be king? Because he's called a great feast, and he's invited all of your sons, and he's invited Abiathar, the high priest, and the captains of the army are there. And you know what they're saying? At the feast, they're saying, God save King Adonijah. And Nathan says to King David, have you done this? And not told me? King David asks the prophet to bring Bathsheba back in. She comes in. He said, yes, I did promise that Solomon will be the next king. And that is what I will do today. He said, I promised before the Lord I would do it, and I will do it. And it reminds us, boys and girls, that the promises that we make, and especially the promises that we make to the Lord, we must keep. David said, yes, I did say that, and I'm going to do it today. And so he calls in certain people. He calls in Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, that's the head of his bodyguard. He calls them all in and he tells them, this is what you've got to do. He says, I want you to take Solomon and put him on my mule. Now, a mule is a cross between a horse and a donkey. And it was quite a rare thing, quite a special thing. Only important people had a mule. He says, I want you to put Solomon on my mule. Take him down through the city of Jerusalem and take him to a place called Gihon. There's a fountain there. It's a place where there's a pool called Siloam. And at that fountain, at that pool, I want you to anoint him with oil. And I want you to do something else that everybody knows. I want you to blow the trumpet. And I want you to say, God save King Solomon. And then I want you to put him back on my mule and bring him back up through the city. And you follow him and you set him on the throne. Set him on my throne. So that's what they did. They got Solomon, they put him on King David's mule, they took him down through the city, they took him to that place where there was the fountain, and Zadok the priest, he got oil out of the tabernacle, and he poured the oil on top of Solomon's head, and they anointed him, and they all cried, God save King Solomon, and they blew the trumpet so that everyone would know, and they said, God save King Solomon, and we are told that everyone followed him. As they put him back on the mule and took him up through the city, they followed him. And they were singing and they were shouting. The Bible tells us that they were playing on pipes, or as we would understand it, they were playing on flutes. And they followed King Solomon as he went up through the city. And then he went right up and he sat on the throne. And there was so much noise and so much singing, and the trumpet blew so loud that it was as if the ground was shaking when Solomon became king. And far away, not that far away, but a little distance away, at Adonijah's feast, they had just finished eating all of their food, and they could hear this great noise. And Joab, who was the head of the army, he could hear the trumpet, and he knew something was wrong. He said, what's going on in the city? What's all of this uproar? And just as Joab had said that, a man called Jonathan comes in, and he was the son of the high priest, and Adonijah was pleased to see him. He says, you're a brave man. You will have good news. But he didn't have good news for Adonijah. He had other news. And we read it in verse 43 of the chapter. Jonathan tells him, verily our Lord King David hath made Solomon king. And Jonathan told him all the details. He says, Zadok the priest has anointed him. Nathan the prophet is there. Benaiah, the head of his bodyguard, is there. And they have put Solomon on King David's mule. And the whole city is rejoicing. And the whole city is singing. And that noise that you can hear is the people shouting and cheering for King Solomon. And Solomon is actually sitting on the throne of the kingdom. And the servants of David, we read it in verse 47, Jonathan told them, the servants of David have come to him, and they have said, God, make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and make his throne greater than thy throne. And the king bowed himself upon the bed. And then he tells them, Jonathan tells them what David has said. David speaks, verse 48, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath given me one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes even seeing it. Jonathan says to Adonijah, King David has spoken. And he says that by the appointment of God, Solomon is the next king. And we're told that when that news arrived at their great feast, that all of the people who were there with Adonijah, they were afraid. And do you know what they did? They all slunk away, each going his separate way, going away to his own house. And Adonijah was left on his own. And he was afraid. And he was afraid of Solomon. So what he did was he ran into the temple and to the place where they offered the sacrifices, and he held onto the altar, onto the horns of the altar. And somebody went and told Solomon and said, Adonijah is afraid of you, and he's in the tabernacle and he's holding onto the altar, and he wants you to promise that you won't kill him today. And Solomon promised that he wouldn't kill Adonijah if he proved himself to be a loyal man, an honest man. And King Solomon sent servants, and they brought Adonijah down from the tabernacle, and he came before King Solomon, and he bowed before him, and Solomon was now king. And just, boys and girls, as there were people in Solomon's day who did not want Solomon to be king, so today there are people who do not want the Lord Jesus Christ to be king of their lives. They are like Adonijah, and perhaps you're like Adonijah. You say, I want to live my own life. I want to go my own way. I want to follow my own rules. I want to be my own king. But there's only one true king, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though people do not want the Lord Jesus Christ to be king, they don't want to obey him, they cannot stop him being king. We read of that over in the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verses 10 and 11. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day, boys and girls, just as Adonijah had to come and bow before King Solomon, one day we were all going to bow before the King, before the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to be ready for that day. Remember, Adonijah and his guests, they were afraid. And they were afraid of the king. They were afraid of King Solomon. And why were they afraid of him? Because they were rebels against him. Because they hated him and despised him and wouldn't obey him and wouldn't accept him as king. The people who had followed Solomon through the city, the people who had shouted, God save King Solomon, they weren't afraid. Because they were on his side. And he was their king. And that is why you must seek the Lord Jesus Christ today. To be your saviour. To take away your sins. And to be king of your life. Only he can forgive your sin. Only he can give you peace with God. Only he can give you a home in heaven. Only he can rescue you from going down into hell. And just as Adonijah came and bowed before King Solomon, so you must bow in your heart before the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess your sin to him. Ask him for the forgiveness of your sin. And he who died on the cross for sinners and shed his blood will forgive you all your sin, and he will give you peace. But you must surrender all to him. He must be king. He must have control. You must repent of your sin and leave it behind for him, and follow him and obey him and love him with all of your heart. He must be king. And when he comes into your life, when he is king, he takes away your fears. He takes away the fear of death. He takes away the fear of hell. He takes away the fear of meeting God unprepared. And he gives you peace. And when he becomes king, things change. And God willing, we will see that tonight. When Solomon became king, things changed. But when the Lord Jesus Christ is king, your life is changed forever. You have hope and you have peace and you have everlasting life. And that is why you must seek him today. Without him, you are lost. With him, you have peace. And the Lord Jesus spoke words in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. And these words in Proverbs 8 verse 17, they were actually written down by Solomon. But they were the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Proverbs 8 verse 17. And that teaches us, boys and girls, that you must love the Lord Jesus Christ and you must seek him early. You must come early and make him king and surrender your life to him. Confess your sin to him. And when he is king, he will give peace and he will guide you, keep you safe all of your life. And one day he will receive you into heaven itself. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Amen. And thank you for listening so well, and we trust the Lord will bless his word. I'll ask Mr. Marshall to come now and to speak to us.
Just like to thank our brother, Mr. Stephen Miller, for the faithful word that he has brought today. Special thanks go to all the parents for sending their children to their Sunday school, even though things have been falling somewhat stop-start this year. Thanks to all the children for taking part today by whatever means, whether via recording or live here in the church. Thanks indeed to our teachers for all their faithfulness throughout the year and all the preparation for the Sunday school lessons. A big thank you to all the children for taking a big thank you to Mrs. Strong, who has provided the music for us here this morning. And last but no means least, the Reverend Stuart, for all his diligent organising to make this day possible. And I trust that as we go forward, we'll all pray for the children from the Sunday school and pray that early in life they will seek him while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Just close in a word of prayer. O Lord, we do thank you indeed that this Lord day is thy day. It is the day of the Lord. A day set aside and set, whereby we can come, whereby we can come to thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou would bless everything that has taken place here this morning and in the service here and what will take place later on. And that, God, that thou would use it and apply it to every heart, Lord, young and old, and that they would turn to thee, that they would lives would be changed from this day forth, that they would seek him early. And if they are later on in life, that they seek him now. For now is the accepted time. For now is the day of salvation. Lord, that there be no more presuming upon the mercies of God in days to come. But that, Lord, even here now, that they would seek thee. Lord, come in mercy. Bless us and be with us. And may we all know, Lord, the joy of thy presence this day, and Lord, that peace of God, that peace of God that passes all understanding. Answer prayer, Lord, and Lord, take us to our homes in safety, and then thy grace for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.